Direct us in all that is said and done this morning. Lead in our lives. Help us to be directed by Thee, and we follow Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I had delusions of grandeur. You can be seated. This morning, I was going to get up and run, and I got up. I don't know if it was right before 6, and went on the couch and started doing something. Said, well, it's too early to run. It got to 7 o'clock. I said, I probably better run soon. It got to 8, and I'm thinking, I'm getting out of time. And I just said, I'm not going. So I didn't go, and did get a little nap on the couch. Judy came out, and I opened one eye, looked at her, and then I guess I fell back asleep. But catching up on it a little bit. You know, we were just singing that, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. You heard about the guy that did all these hand motions when he's preaching. He says, you know, so he goes, yeah, let me tell you, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. It's probably not the place to point down to, but there you go. I always like that little thing. So turn to Luke. I'm flipping the service today, Luke and then John, 1 John afterwards. And one of the main reasons is the 1 John is really a heavy salvation message. I don't know if you think about it, but let me switch over. A lot of churches, they preach those salvation messages. That's all they do on Sunday morning. Now, I don't believe that's what you're supposed to do. I believe you're supposed to help those that are here grow. I mean, if I, you know, you look around and you, you know, you just don't want to preach salvation message every Sunday. I remember when I was in, first got saved, you know, 44 years ago, the girl would come into work and she said, man, the preacher up there in Alabama preaches a salvation message every Sunday morning. And that's good if you, you know, if you have lost people there, but you can incorporate it, but don't let it be the whole message. This morning it's going to be more predominantly the message, at least that's what I think. Just like right now, I think I'm going to say, but you never know. In Luke chapter 10, we're going to look at verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. That just means full of care. Like it says, be careful for nothing, but in prayer and supplication let your requests be made known unto God. That means don't be so full of care or worry and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. So as I look at this passage, and I think, Lord willing, probably that's all we're going to have the time to go over. But, you know, both types are needed in life. Those that are like Mary, that, you know, they're focused on Jesus more than maybe Martha is. And Martha's focused on serving. Listen, if you don't have people serving, you don't have people in the daycare or the nursery and the, you know, the food preparation and the Sunday school and the song and the music and the singing and the all the things that need to get done, then, you know, this is just church service. You know, you just don't get it done. And so both are needed, but Martha's complaining. And really, my whole message changed this morning because when I woke back up, I said, well, I better review a little bit, because I actually reviewed up in Alabama, got it all ready, and Judy says, are you ready? I said, yeah, and then on the way home, I worked on some other stuff while she drove the 3 hours. So I got some other stuff accomplished. I don't like studying much, because I like to write in my Bible when Judy's driving. No. When any of us are driving, it's tough to mark a good mark in your Bible. So I tried to get it all done before I left the house up there. But you know, you look at it and you got two people here. One of them's complaining. And guess what? About 50% of the time, you got, you know, half the people complaining, and, you know, half of them trying to do what needs to get done. And listen, it's difficult. It's difficult because everybody's worried about what everybody else is doing. Because I said that, I looked at that this morning. Look at John 21, the last chapter in John, everybody worried about what everybody else is doing and not really focused on what they need to be doing. That happened in the book of John. And Peter, you know, he just got put on the spot by Jesus in, where do you start? Verse 15, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. You know what Peter was supposed to do? Supposed to feed the lambs. You know, that was Peter's job. Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith to him, Lord, or feed my sheep. So here's Peter, and you know, he's on the spot, and nobody likes to be on the spot, especially three times, especially by the Lord. You know, Peter wants to change the focus. And many times that's what it is. You get put on the spot and you don't want the focus on you because, you know, you feel like you're doing enough. But the focus is on Peter. And so he goes on, and let's just jump over to verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now that's John, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said unto the Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, and what shall this man do? You know, I mean, if you could just see Peter right here, he's like, bam, number two, bam, number three, bam. And then he's like, let's focus on John. Let's talk about John. And listen, we're all like that. We're all wanting to deflect the Lord's spotlight. But we're also too concerned about what others are doing and should be concerned about what we're doing. That's what we need. I mean, listen, it's a natural reaction to deflect the focus of God. But it's not the right reaction. Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And Jesus just, boom. And then the saying goes about that he's not going to die. Well, he is going to see Jesus come back in Revelation because he is transported into the future and sees the second coming. And now because Peter got in there and got into his business, everything's messed up. There's whole heresies that are contrived from the fact that Peter focuses on John rather than focusing on self. So you got to look at that. Listen, you know, we need to focus on what God wants us to do. And listen, what God wants you to do is not what God wants somebody else to do. I know this right now. God doesn't want me to lead music. I'm just, you know, I probably could do it at this point, but my wife's smiling big like, no, you can't. I was beside her somewhere. I don't know if it wasn't the funeral. Oh, I guess it was up in Canada, and she says, you're off tune. I'm like, what is tune? I don't know. I just sing on the same, you know, noise level. And I try to go high every now and then, but I have no clue. God doesn't want me to get into Gary's grill and go, Gary, you know, you need to lead the music like this. You need to do, you know, that's the blind leading somebody that knows what they're doing. Well, while you're here and while it's needed, we need you. And yes, he does. But you know, we all want to tell everybody else what they need to do. And I'll tell you what happened to me. So I learned the lesson in 1984. So how do you remember it was 1984? Because I got started with Awana. So I'm over there in Awana, and I do my, we used to do 5-minute devotionals during, before Sunday school, that every man, church, get up and do a 5-minute devotional. So I got up and did my devotional, why everybody needs to have their kids in Awana, because we memorize scripture. And so the preacher, he wasn't a delicate person. I mean, he just shucked your corn when he decided to shuck your corn, which just means he ripped you to pieces. That's probably why I've tried in my life not to do that anymore. You know, I don't use the pulpit to just ram, you know, go after somebody and run them over with a Mack truck. But he knew how to drive a Mack truck, I'm telling you. And so he got up there and said, you know, what happens is we focus on what our ministry aspect is and think that everybody else needs to be doing what we're doing. And listen, it was important for everybody to come to Awana, but we also had a Christian school of 450 students. At that time, probably 100, 125. But they were learning and memorizing Scripture in school. So it wasn't like they weren't memorizing Scripture. We had Sunday school, they're memorizing Scripture. So we have Sunday school, we have school, they're memorizing Scripture, and then we have Awana, and it's like, look, if you're not in Awana, you're not right with God. That was my perspective. Why? Because I was involved in Awana. It was the most important thing. And that's what you have to watch out for, is that you don't start thinking, hey, the most important thing is what I'm doing. That's what's going on here. Mary and Martha are looking, and Martha's complaining because here's Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. And she ought to be over there serving like I am. She ought to be doing what I'm doing. Why? Because what I'm doing is important. Was what Mary was doing important? Sure. And Jesus even tells her that. But we have a tendency to look at ourselves and look at what we're doing and thinking that everybody needs to be doing the same thing we're doing because what we're doing is important. Some of you work in the nursery. Listen, it's important. Not everybody in here works in the nursery. Some of you, you know, decorate. None of us are going to do that. We're not even going to get involved in that. All we want to do is see it and go, wow, wish I could do that. That's the one where I don't have to worry about, well, yeah, I guess you still do. Somebody might come in and go, I don't like that color. I don't like the way that flowers turn. I don't like those lights back there. I don't like those flags. I don't like those wreaths. I don't like, and you know, you can spend your whole day just pointing out what you don't like. You know what I was told in business? That if you have a problem, you ought to have the solution to follow it up. And listen, I'm just telling you, on the decorating, just leave it alone. Yeah, just leave it alone. The fortunate thing is I picked that example because we don't really have anything to complain about. You come in and all of a sudden it's just redecorated. Like little elves. And they probably are. Little elves come in and they just... And we come in and we go, wow, you know. But nobody's complaining about that. But you complain about other things. You know, oh, I think it ought to be done this way. I think the color of the carpet ought to be this color and the pews ought to be this color. And there are churches that have split over that. The color of the walls. And listen, it is difficult. I tell you all the time, it's difficult. When we were putting the flags up, somebody said, it's going to look like a Chinese restaurant. And you know, in my mind, I'm going, it might just look like a Chinese restaurant. So I'm thinking that. We put them up, and then the only thing I got was good comments. But, you know, going in, I don't know. And I've told you this, when I put the flags up here, I did the spreaders on them. And the reason I did the spreaders, I want to see in God we trust. And as soon as I'm putting a spreader on, somebody says, I like flags that flow naturally. And I'm like, what do you do? You know, you want to turn around and just go, well, shut up. I'm the pastor. I'm going to do what I want. And you can't do that because then people go, well, he doesn't care what anybody thinks. You know, he didn't care about us. He didn't want our input. I don't mind input, but you got to understand sometimes you just got to button it up. You know what I got to do 90% of the time, if not more? I do. I got to bite my lip. Somebody says something, and I got to look at it and go, it ain't going to go down a good path if you jump into that one. And so I got to button it up. But you know what my advice is? A little preventive maintenance. You ought to button it up too. You ought to say, hey, you know, listen, if you have good advice and you say, hey, you know, I think we're going in the wrong direction. I think we've got a train wreck coming. Man, you better tell me. You know, and you know what? I better tell you because we love each other and we care. But there comes a point where it's just nitpicky stuff. You know, like I was talking about the decorating. Well, I don't like this color purple. Yeah, my wife, that's her favorite color. Then she's shaking her head. I really like this color because my wife likes it. You know, she gets, you know, the pink thing. You know, I did the pink shirt once or twice. I got this pillow for the flight up to Canada. And boy, it's one of those that sits on your shoulders and it's got this thing. It's a new one that they, you know, I got it for free. I'm like, hey, problem was it's pink. So one of the preachers flying from the first flight in Canada to the other spot in Canada to Atlanta, he said, yeah, I was behind you. I was going to get a picture of you. You were just zonked out. He said, I was going to get a picture with your pink pillow. I said, but you didn't, right? He says, oh, no, I didn't. I said, well, you know, that was free. I told Judy when I got home, I said, here, you try it. She said, oh, it's too big for me. She doesn't want it. I said, can you color it? Can you color it blue? Yeah, dye it. Yeah, I didn't want to use that word, dye it. No, dye it. D-I-E-T. But you know, listen, we can all complain. Here's a situation where Martha doesn't see the importance of what Mary's doing. And Mary probably doesn't see the importance of what Martha's doing. And we each need to see what the other's doing and realize it's all important. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, do all to the glory of God. That's the whole key. Is what's being done, done to the glory of God? If it is, then, you know, try to understand, but complaining, you know, about what everybody else is doing, and they're not doing what I'm doing, and therefore they can't be right with God. And really, that's where you get your mind. They're out of the will of God. Martha's, you know, looking at it and saying, Mary's out of the will of God because she's not helping me serve. And she's my sister. Listen, you just need to stay in your lane. And you need to figure out what your lane is and realize, look, It's important. I know the grass cutting, we were out of town. You know, we were up at the funeral after Canada. And then, you know, Nate did all the grass cutting and the edging. It took him about 4 hours. It's a lot of work. You know? And it looks really good. You know? So, is what Nate did the most important thing or the least important thing? Or, you know, if you see a grass out there that's out of line, should you bring it to his attention? He wants to know. He doesn't want to know from you. If you see a grass out of line, you just come tell me. I'll talk to him. I told somebody that the other day. There was something we were working on, and it was a brochure, and everybody's given input. I mean, one line input. Oh, you know, you need to put a space right there. I finally went back to him. I said, look, send it through me. I will put it all together and do one email with all the corrections. There were 8 emails with little nitpicky stuff. You say, well, they ought to want that. Yeah. He wants to know about the grass that's out of line, but he doesn't want to have 15 people coming to him and going, hey, look over there, look over there, look at this right here, and boy, if he'd have done this, look, you didn't blow this off well enough. And listen, I'm telling you, it happens. And you think, well, he ought to be big enough to take it. He is. We all are. But turn the shoe around and go, boy, I wish 15 people would come and critique my work. You're not going to like it. So here's Mary and Martha. You got the same thing here in Luke chapter 10. And you know, he says in verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled. So I quoted to you Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be careful for nothing. That just means full of care. She's worrying about it. She's troubled. Listen, she's serving Jesus, and she's full of care. She's troubled. It ought to not be like that. You know, serving God ought to be a joy. And if it's not a joy, then something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with me. It's supposed to be a joy. Coming to church is supposed to be a joy. And listen, I've gone to church and gotten raked over the coals and said, man, I tell you what, that preacher, you know, he's so unfair, so mean. He's talking to me. And sometimes he probably was. I'll tell you what it did. It gave me thick skin. You can't hardly get under my skin now. I'll tell you this. I think it was, they lived across the street here. His wife played the piano, moved to Tennessee.
Harden.
He said something, and I said, oh, well, you can't get under my skin. He goes, want to bet? I went, don't try. That was over in Israel, and one of the guys was over there, and he was just a constant, you know, he was so sharp. Boom, 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 boom. Finally, about 25 things in, I just said, hey, you got to back off, man. You're driving me crazy. But he was just belittling everything. Everything. I waited 25 times before I said, you need to shut it down. And then I gave him a little advice and said, you know, you're not going to have trips to Israel if you keep that up. You can't say that to people. You can't be so sharp that you're just cutting everybody with a knife. Listen, you ought to have thick skin. But it doesn't mean that people look at it and go, well, you know, nothing shall offend them. That's in the Old Testament. You know, you can't ever be offended. You know, I'll tell you this, Brother Harden, I looked at him and I said that to him, and I looked at him and I went, he looks like a guy that could probably, you know, badger me enough to get under my skin. So I backed down. I'll just tell you that. I wimped out. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So we're talking about Mary and Martha. And look at verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, accepted according to the man hath, not according to that he hath not. The most important thing you can have is a willing mind. So in the work of God, you're wondering, what should I do? How should I do it? How should I behave? How should I react? The first thing you need is a willing mind. You have to be willing to do what God asks you to do, whatever that may be. Look at the last verse there that I read in verse 42. I was going to move down to chapter 11. Let me do that. So let me read to you again. So you got Martha and Mary. Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha is serving. Martha's worried about Mary, and Mary's probably worried about Martha too. Verse 42, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And then you go into chapter 11, verse 1. It came to pass as he was praying, so Jesus praying in a certain place, and then he ceased. One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So now this is the question. Can you teach us to pray? John the Baptist taught his disciples. Now, you know, you won't find that really in the Bible, but evidently he did. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I remember what I was going to do. I was going to take you to John 17 there. I'm going to go back. There was another thing I wanted to say about Lazarus. So remember, this is Mary and Martha. Who is their brother? Yeah, I just gave it away. Lazarus. Now what I want you to think about, and maybe I won't even get into chapter 11 because I was trying to remember what my note was for Lazarus. But when you're looking there, Mary and Martha are so wrapped up in what they're doing. They're so wrapped up in themselves. Look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Can you imagine how the focus changes? John 11, look at verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go to Judea again. His disciples saith unto him, Master, the Jews late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Look at verse 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Verse 12, then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them, Plainly Lazarus is dead. Now I want you to focus again where we just came from. Mary and Martha are focused on each other and what they're doing. Their brother's now dead. They're not complaining anymore about what the other one's doing. But I'll tell you what, because they are so accustomed to complaining, they're going to start complaining about Jesus. Look at verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You know, that's Martha talking to Jesus. She's so accustomed to complaining that now she's going to complain about Jesus. And Mary's no better, because when you go to verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now they're complaining about Jesus. Imagine spending so much time complaining that it becomes so natural that you just complain about everything, including complaining about God. You get into the habit of complaining, and you will complain about everything and everybody, and it'll become a natural thing. You know, we get around a lot of people, and so, you know, we were talking about that this morning, that, you know, you hear people complain, and you just look at it and go, are they looking for stuff to complain about? You need to be careful what you complain about. I mean, you know, pick what I say to people, pick your battles. You know, when you say that, you don't go and fight every fight just to fight. You got to pick your battles carefully. Pick your complaining carefully. Here's Mary, here's Martha, complain, 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 and then they don't understand something that God does, and what do? They complain about God. We told you he was sick. Why aren't you here? Why did you wait? If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died.
And Jesus already told his disciples, this is to the glory of God. The reason that he did what he did was because it was the right thing to do, because it was within the will of God, because he needed to, God the Father wanted to glorify the Son. The way to do that was for him to raise the dead. And many people believed on Jesus because Lazarus was raised from the dead. And are you going to complain about that? Yeah, you're going to complain about that. Why? Because you're accustomed to complaining. And it becomes habitual. And then you complain about this and you complain about that. And then by the time you get done, everybody around you is soiled with your complaining. And I mean soiled. We need to be careful what we complain about. You know, we had a funeral the other day and everything seemed to go well. But what if it was too hot in there? What if it was too cold? You know, oh, and by the way, the church, you don't always know this, but Arlene bought a arrangement. It had fish on it because my brother-in-law was a big fisherman, and we took it up with us. And they didn't take it to the funeral home. She put it on the table there in the kitchen, in the dining room. And then everybody came over to the house. Everybody said, where did that come from? It was beautiful. Beautiful. I saw there was one little flower that was a little wilted on it, though. And no, I didn't. But that is what some of us do. You look for something. Did you really believe me? You look for something to complain about. Stop already. Stop. If you are an habitual complainer, you're not right with God. Do all the glory of God. Does God want you to complain? I think not. Well, there you go. That's why I switched this from Sunday morning to Sunday school, even though the other one is salvation, like I said, but this one's probably more appropriate for Sunday school too. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Ask that you guide, lead, and direct us. Help us not to be habitual complainers. Lord, if we do have a complaint, help us to always have a solution. Help us to always look for the good in things and not to be blinded to the bad, but just to realize that we infect and we affect everybody that is around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.